So I guess I can start by saying, hi, Mom, which, you know, is the benefit of having your mom along. The talk that I'm going to give today could be about the chi of Google, the computer-human interaction, but it's actually about the chi of Google. In Taoism, qi is the inherent vital force that keeps the positives and negatives in the body in balance to achieve optimum health. And at Google, in our interface, we also have a qi, and it's the practice of bringing the really complex technology that runs together with a very simple, easy-to-use package that ultimately creates the qi, that vitality and that usefulness that creates a really good user experience. So to start off with, I wanted to give a sense of where we are in terms of information. And I remember when I was 8 years old, I went down into my grandfather's basement, and I was looking for something to read. And there was a big bookshelf, much like this one there. And I found one book there that was much older than all the others. And I remember pulling it off the shelf and looking at it. And it had a copyright of 1896. And I realized it was my great-grandfather's fifth grade grammar book. And I was immediately filled with questions. Where was the sixth grade grammar book? Where was the fourth grade grammar book? Where were the math books? Where were the science books? And they were all gone. All that was left was just this one book. And I thought, you know, do any of those books exist anywhere in the world? Do other copies of this one still exist? Have they all been thrown away or damaged? And I had this amazing feeling of loss because people spend a lot of time putting together these books, learning from them. They create meaningful experiences for people. And 100 years later, they were just lost. Contrast that with 1999. About a month before I came to Google, I remember encountering the Matrix DVD. And I had seen other DVDs before this one, but this one included behind-the-scenes documentaries, cast and crew commentary, a special version of the movie that had the white Follow the White Rabbit in it, more than 100 hours viewable overall. So you take an art form that had, you know, 2 hours of content, and it expands out to more than 100 hours, replicated again and again, thousands of times. And, you know, held for all time, being in a digital form, this chances are, you know, if we handle this correctly, it won't ever get lost. But I think that's one reason that search is such an interesting problem, and it's a neat thing to think about, how you can provide a simple interface, how you can take that complexity and achieve clarity when you're still dealing with terabytes and terabytes of information. So I thought I would go through a few of the design principles that we use at Google when thinking about how to organize all that information. And the first one is that we design for the expert user. That might seem strange. Why don't we want to be more welcoming to a beginner? And you might disagree and say that we actually are, in fact, welcoming to be a beginner. But the reason we design for the expert user is because of the learning curve in search. We know that users go from being a beginning searcher to being an expert searcher in like a month. So you'll see people on the first day of searching, they'll speak conceptually, they'll ask questions, they'll do things like, you know, will it snow when I visit New York? And you get pretty terrible results for that. Like, you know, Google can't take that query. The keywords aren't right. So we can't take that and come up with good results. Where a month later, we'll see them query for things like weather New York, where you actually get, you know, a full forecast, all the information that you wanted. Because they learn over that month what types of keywords to type in, what types of functionality we have, and how to unleash it. We see them type in the first experience questions of frustration, questions we couldn't possibly answer, like, who do I need to kill to get a rent-controlled apartment? Which obviously, not such good results for that. And, you know, a month later, they just type rent-control New York, and they get the rent-control bylaws and exactly what you need to do to achieve all that. So we know that the learning curve in search is really steep. There's a lot to learn, but people learn it really, really fast. So we try and aim for that expert user, because we know if we design for the beginning user, they're going to have outgrown our interface a month in. So we try and aim for that expert user. So what does that mean? Well, it tries to mean that we don't want to annoy the expert user, get in their way, tell them things that are obvious. I call this the Tina principle, because in high school I had a friend who was an obsessive compulsive labeler. She loved to label everything, name colon, date colon, on all of her papers. And one day she had me unpack her lunch, and I actually found this. So you might end up asking yourself, what's the point of clear Tupperware if you're just going to put a label on the outside? But interestingly enough, we actually do think about things like that at Google. This is an interface, and I apologize for those of you in the back, because you can't see exactly what's going on. But each thing here is labeled, title colon, contextual excerpt colon, URL colon. And believe it or not, we actually wondered at some point, should we tell our users this? Should we tell them this is the title of the page? Should we tell them this is the URL of the page? The contextual excerpt was actually the driving factor here. Because in the old days of search engines, the old-fashioned days of search engines, they would just have a standard description for each website, Expedia.com, a comprehensive guide to travel. And with Google, we started doing these contextual excerpts. So if you type Hawaiian vacations, we return Expedia.com in the results and show you Hawaiian vacations for less as one of the, and you can actually see that in context on the page. And it turns out it's really hard to do that. We have to keep many copies of the web around. When your query comes in, we need to rifle through them, find out where your terms exist on the page and pull this. So our marketers said, hey, you know, that's really hard to do. We should call out for people what that value add is. Call it a contextual excerpt and point it out to them. But the problem is, if you do 50 searches a day, you just read contextual excerpt 500 times more than you needed to in your life. So you need to make sure that you're not getting in that expert user's way and make sure that you keep the interface really lean, really simple, and let them really harness the information that they want to access. Another principle is that we don't want to make users think. And that might seem strange, because obviously when they come to a search engine, they're thinking about something, they're researching something. But when we say this, what we really mean is we don't want them to ask the question, WWGD, what would Google do? If I were Google, where would I have put the images? If I were Google, where would I have put the news? Right? Because the moment they have to stop and ask themselves that question, we've lost them. So we try and integrate those things right into the search engine. So if you type a stock ticker, the stock quote is right there. If you type in weather New York, the weather is right there. You don't need to stop and think, oh, where would Google have put this? Where do I need to go? Our CEO, Eric Schmidt, has this interesting, really powerful principle that the interface to a product shouldn't resemble the organization of the team that built it. He used to work at Sun, and one day he was sick and stayed back from a trip, and he decided he would actually install one of the Sun boxes. And he opened up the box to be greeted by 8 Read Me First guides, one for each team and department that worked on the box. And so you want to avoid things like that. If you can look at the Google site or at any interface and understand the makeup of the teams behind it, in some ways those teams have failed because they really should be providing something that's much more integrated, holistic, and aimed at the user task, not at the way they're organized. We also like to focus on ease and speed. So for example, if you query on Cheney quail hunting, you aren't greeted by what we see some of our competitors doing, a sign into your Google account, do the Google dance, surf through Google Earth, refer a friend, you know, get money back. We just try and bring you your answers as quickly as possible. And there's a big and important idea at play here. Interestingly, on internet portals, one of the key metrics that many companies look at is minutes spent on that site per month. And at Google, we've tried to rail back on that. We had a board member, Mike Moritz, who was at Yahoo, and he was used to asking for that. So every month when we would have the board meeting, he would ask me, Marissa, but, you know, where are the minutes per month? And it turns out there are third-party agencies who study this. But I would just say, you know, we shouldn't look at that. Because the problem is when you look at minutes per month, you see things like this. So you see the time spent. And for each search, if you clock what the search looks like, you'll look at these 5 searches done, and you'll say, wow, search number 4 was so great. Look at how long we held them on our site for. Think about all the ads we could have served them during that time. Right? So from a business perspective, you become intent on keeping the user trapped on your site, keeping them there for longer and longer periods of time. Our goal instead is to say, you know what, we want them off our site. We want them surfing the information and looking at the information they want to get. And so, you know, my goal is to make this graph look like this. Make up in volume what you lack in any particular transaction. So each time you come and transact with Google, you just spend a small amount of time. But this is better for the user. We don't get in their way. It's better for us from a business perspective as well, because it means that, well, on the left side, maybe the user only did 5 searches. Here they did 15. And even if half of those aren't commercial and we don't serve ads on them, the other half will be. And there's a couple more opportunities there, a couple more different searching tasks when we could have served ads. So we vastly prefer the strategy of the one on the right, looking at the sheer number of searches rather than the time spent per search or the time spent on Google each month. Then I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the Zen of Google. There was a really interesting piece of thought that came out a few years ago from Palm, called the Zen of Palm. And they had a nice theory where they looked at this and said, you know, in the PC world, more features equals a better user experience. The more things your computer can do, the happier you'll be as a user, which is generally true. They found this interesting paradox in handheld computing, because what they found was, obviously you needed to have some features, otherwise the user experience isn't very interesting. But if you've got too many features, the user experience actually degrades because you become overwhelmed, there's too much to do, it doesn't do anything really well. And so they found that there was really this parabolic arc in terms of what happens with the user experience and what you can achieve. And at Google, what we've really found is you want to increase the number of features. It's important that Google constantly be able to do more and more things. It can do stock quotes now, it can do weather, it can do translation. You know, we can do a good job with maps. But the number of apparent features, how complicated the tool looks, follows that same parabolic arc that Palm found in the handheld world. So in terms of the number of features you see there up front, you'll notice on the homepage we don't tell you. We do stocks, we do weather, we do translations, we do maps. We just try and make the tool seem simple and then present those options and that functionality in context in the right moment. Palm built on this idea, and they talked about their spiral of doom. And their spiral of doom looked like this. When they added more features, it meant that they had slower performance, which ultimately meant that they needed a faster processor, which meant that they needed more memory. That ultimately led to a shorter battery life, so they needed a bigger battery. Bigger battery meant that they needed a bigger handheld, meant that it cost more, and it meant that their users were really unhappy. And at Google, we have a similar spiral of doom that we need to work to find the balance on. And that is, when we add features, we find that it makes the users stop to think. They need to make more choices. Should they use those features? Should they not use those features? Should they go to this other property? Users feel more overwhelmed. Search seems complicated. Seems like there's just a lot more things that need to happen in order for it to work right. In fact, it does actually get more technically complex. And because it's getting more technically complex, it means it actually takes us longer to do the search because the search is less optimized. And search seems slower, not only because it's taking longer technically to do the search, but also because what you're being presented with is more complicated and it takes you longer to figure out what's going on. This ultimately leads to fewer searches and a frustrated customer, violating that make it up in volume theorem that I brought up earlier. So, you know, this is really the spiral of doom that we're trying to avoid. We don't want to overwhelm the users with choice and make search seem really complicated. So, I thought I would give you a bit of an understanding of what it is, how complicated is it? What are we trying to balance with this simplistic interface? So if you search for Zen in our Taoist theme for today, we do a query from Zen in New York. Basically, Zen, the query, starts off in New York. It would probably go to our Maryland data center, which at this time of day is running pretty hot because the East Coasters do a lot of searches. It would end up probably down in Atlanta. And when the query enters our data center, it would be greeted by a load balancer, which decides which machines are available to actually do the search. So, you know, you'd probably hit 10 or 15 machines there as it does that computation. We'd go on to our mixer, which is a piece of software that understands how to mix together all the different elements of what comes back on the result page. Move on to web servers that produce the small pieces of HTML that stitch together to be the result page. And then it would hit probably 300 to 400 machines to determine the best search results for your query and the best ads. It would bubble back up to the mixer, which would then take all of those results, paste them all together, and come up with the best 10 in terms of search results and ads. Go back to the web server to do a little bit more HTML formatting, out back through the load balancers, and then ultimately bounce back through the data centers back to you here in New York. And 0.2 seconds later, your queries travel to two different data centers through probably somewhere between 300 to 700 machines, depending on how efficient the load balancers were, and return to you, giving you a guide on how to achieve Zen. But that's really the chi of Google for me. It's this balance between simplicity and complexity. What we're doing behind the scenes is incredibly complex. It's incredibly technical. It's really overwhelming. But it's really important that the face we provide to you is simplistic, and that complexity fades into the background, and simplicity comes into the foreground. Because it's really that simplicity that makes our users feel empowered and lets them harness their interests and have a really good experience on Google through that simplistic interface. Thanks.